Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's the Mitchin Podcast.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to another episode of the Mitchin. We are a Sydney-based podcast. My name is Andrew Levins, and my co-host is Mitchell.
What's up?
This week, we have someone who I think has been called at least twice by two separate people, the worst guest in Mitchin history.
Well, that's just you and Mitch that said that.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm
yeah,
pretty
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So, we're not very important in the,
in the grand sure. scheme of the podcast.
Don't really count in the podcast. No one listens to you guys anyway.
Well, the episode's over. That's it. But returning to the podcast for the third time, he was at various stages of being on the podcast. I think you were just Rockpool at first.
Yes.
I think someone's called Rockpool
S. I look really white on that.
you sound really white too. Rockpool established, what was it called for a moment?
Established 1989.
Yep. Yeah. You're the only person in the world that ever got that right on the first go, I think. And then when you came back a second time, Rockpool had renamed itself 11 Bridge.
Really?
Had
we already done that by that stage? We just moved to 11 Bridge prior to...
Look, nah, but you would have been at 11 Bridge both times.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Okay, well, whatever. It's a great intro, and thanks for not
ruining it. Where's that bell?
But
am I getting gonged off already?
Whenever I make a mistake, which is frequently, you make a ding sound.
Okay,
and everyone at home takes a shot.
Counting them up, yeah.
Right, okay.
It's the Mitching drinking game. It's very popular in the streets.
Okay.
But
I was wondering what those kids are up to.
The reason that Phil Wood, our guest for the episode today, is back for a third time is that he is leaving us.
Hmm.
Greener pastures. Actually, no, I would say Sydney's greener than Melbourne. You're moving to Melbourne, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, south of Melbourne.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
Mornington. So, it's one of the greatest agricultural regions of Australia.
That's just pretty green, you're right.
Yeah.
Mm. And definitely 12, more 12 pastures months. As well than where
a
you
lot
are
of pastures.
Now.
Mm. A lot of kangaroos. CBD. Many more kangaroos than CBD, yeah. But very exciting. Should be going down in a couple of weeks.
So the news was broken by the never dramatic Scott Bowles, who wrote the headline for your story about you leaving Sydney Chef Exodus.
Exodus, yep. Just, you know, subtly pointing out that two people have moved.
Yeah.
Ah, God.
Yeah. But, you know.
Have they called you and spoke to you yet?
No. No, not yet.
Mm.
No.
Great journalism.
So how did they find out that you were going?
We don't know. So we were in the middle of contracts and all that kind of thing that happens. I was on holiday in New Zealand, and they just said that they had heard something and they were going to print it.
Holy shit!
We no idea who.
That
them.
Sucks. We have journalists on all the time, but I feel like I like to think that everyone that we have on would never actually do that shit.
Yeah.
Like that's a real like old school. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. We are the media. Kind
there's
of.
There's been a couple instances of that lately of press releases going out with an embargo on it saying this is not for release until X date, and then someone just fucking ignores it and publishes it.
Because it's like the race. We've got to beat broadsheet.
So once one person does it, then all the other publications put it out because it's out there anyway. So,
and then you have the problem of trying to keep all the media happy.
Yeah.
And then they get upset
then they think you've told one and let them go early. Yeah.
So that's a bit annoying. But yeah, so we're still not really ready to talk about it too much, which is unfortunate because...
For coming.
what can you tell us?
In a certain way. I can talk briefly about the project.
What spurred the decision?
What spurred the decision? Yeah. I'd left 11 Bridge, which is now J Temple, as of this morning.
Is today the first day it opened?
Today's the first day.
Oh, yep. Shit.
So good luck to the boys there. And
good luck to Hongi.
Good luck to Hongi, yeah. Been crushed by Pepsi or whatever that was. Yeah, so my partner Liz had also decided to leave her job with Virgin, and we just thought let's leave Sydney, basically, and this is what happened.
How long have you been cooking in Sydney?
On and off, 12 years. 12 years in Sydney, yeah.
And how long ago that was at Rockpool?
Eight years. Mm. So a fair amount of time to spend with one employer as well,
especially in this industry.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Pretty good. It's a lifetime almost. in some ways. Yeah.
Now you're depressing me. But I just really wanted to do something pretty different, and Sydney in general has become a highly competitive city, and it was just nice to have the opportunity to get out of it for a little. To be fair.
Yeah, I'm sad you're leaving, but I'm also not sad because whatever Phil was going to do next was going to create a lot of press and la 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 and create another place in Sydney for the fickle dining public to rush to. And, you know, so it's kind of nice to have that happen outside of Sydney.
Oh, and I'm really excited to be able to leave city cooking a little bit as well and get out into the countryside. So, you know, with city cooking... there's always that pressure to be relevant, I feel, where a little bit outside of the city, you can be a little bit more expressive in what you
you're going to say. You can be a little more irrelevant.
I'm just looking forward to being less relevant. But and I just feel like that thing where the media is always talking about trying to be seasonal and trying to cook seasonally, and it doesn't really hold true in the city because you know you have to use the markets and whatever's in the markets you can, but you know we're going to have a little bit of land out there so we can have our own gardens and our own produce so we can cook in that kind of manner a little bit more authentically. So I'm really looking forward to that part of the job.
So how many offers did you have?
Look, I won't go into too many details.
Like, no details of what they were, but how many offers were there? Just a number figure.
Around about five.
So what separated this one?
This one?
Was it the land and the fact that it's in such an amazing area or...
Yeah, it was...
Was it the pay packet or...
No, it was the land.
very relevant pay packet.
No, it was the land and the aspect of the actual restaurant itself. You know, it's in a really, really beautiful part of the Mornington Peninsula, a very... tightly held in terms of property, so all the estates are quite spread out, and we're really, really lucky to have a beautiful view from where it is. It's on top of a point, so you know it's just a spectacular part of the world, and that's really what sold it. And you know, I just I guess in the end, I just really wanted to leave city cooking and get back to the country a little bit. And I guess that's what made it so special, and they're really nice people that are operating it.
So what's the name of the company that you're working for now?
Well, the actual property is called Point Leo Estate, but it's owned by an individual.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I love those guys.
The old individual, eh?
Yeah. But it's a family property, and you know they're just really excited about. You know, operating a restaurant, they really love food. They eat out a lot, and they're just really happy to have their own little place that they can be proud of. So,
oh man, so you've got, seems like you got free rein to kind of.
Oh yeah, here and there. You know, I can't. You know, we're still.
You can only be so relevant.
Yeah, I can only be so relevant. But you know what? Look, honestly. Starting to sort of I've been exploring the produce over the last couple of weeks around the Mornington, having a look at the seafood and different animals that are available down there and the different farming practices. And look, it's just like I didn't quite expect it to be as amazing as it is. And the availability of fresh seafood, as well as having great goat, dairy, sheep, cattle, and a 12 month growing cycle down mm-hmm. there, because right. they have the right kind of climate for 12 month crop production. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't turn that away. Like, it's just amazing. You can go down to the beach on either side of the peninsula. You can have Bass Strait to Phillip Island, and then on the other side you've got Port Phillip. So you've got that access to all that shellfish that Port Phillip has, and then you've got guys going off the bay and getting really wonderful flathead and snapper and dory and everything that goes around that region. And they're kind of like Byron Shire, I guess, down in the Mornington. So they're very into organics down there as well. So I mean, even the level of produce is just remarkable. So, you know, it was a sort of a no-brainer on moving down there.
Are you still going to be cooking in your Asian...
Sort of working on that at the moment. The Asian bent really is Australian, and I think it will be an Australian restaurant. So
is that something that you gravitated towards as yourself as a chef, or is that something that the Rockpool's influence...
A certain amount was Rockpool's influence, and having Neil as a mentor, he has a great palate for Asian flavors, and particularly Chinese and Thai, I think, mm-hmm. With a little bit of Korean in there every once in a while. But you know, that definitely helped me develop the palate that I have. But I was always fascinated by Chinese cookery. I just think it's a remarkable cuisine. So in all the different forms that it takes. So it's just a fascinating food, and it's always been part of my interest. But also, you know, it is quintessential part of Australian dining as well, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to be successful in Sydney, just open a Chinese restaurant. Basically, I mean, you can't really go wrong as long as you can make a dumpling.
A Cantonese restaurant, yeah.
And what about Mornington Peninsula? Like, are there any notable restaurants there at the moment that...
Yeah, and this surprised me also. So I kind of underestimated the quality, I guess, of Mornington before I went down. I've been down three times over the last couple of weeks now. This last time we stayed at Jackalope Hotel, which opened maybe 6 months ago, maybe less. They've got a casual diner there called Rare Hair, which I've been to a couple of times, and they've got a fine diner there called... Doot Doot Doot, which I think was on the list of worst restaurant names ever.
Yep.
But both.
Why is it called Doot Doot Doot?
Something to do with the jackalope,
right.
Which is a mythical creature.
Yep.
I think it's
so maybe Nardwa named it.
Yeah.
Doot Doot.
But I think it's the noise it makes or something along those lines.
Yeah, that's a bad name. Good food though.
Good food. Yeah, really good. And the I mean, the level of chef there is, you know, they're really nice guys, and the service was pretty special. You know, you're coming across people that have worked in pretty good restaurants throughout Sydney and Melbourne. So, you know, they're always just doing that for a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, it's really good. I mean, there's 10 minutes by tractor down there. I haven't been, yet, but that's a regional restaurant, has been for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They have a casual diner as well. There's a really great...
it's called Bop, Bop, Bop.
Or Brap, 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 Brap. You know, there's a really great French restaurant. I forget the name of it, actually, but it's in a place called Balnarring. We went... I had pretty low expectations, to be honest, for a French restaurant.
Yeah, my experience at Morning Peninsula is years ago staying in... Was it Balnarring,
yeah.
Ding. Yeah, they're mostly vineyards and wineries in that area, but it's still being a lovely location. But I don't remember anything I ate over the week I was there.
Well, no, I think it's the Mornington's a funny one. I think it's at a sort of tipping point for the Victorian government to really start putting a lot of impetus behind trying to get people there. It's a very popular Melbourne like day tripper location for Melburnians, but I feel like the interstate traveller kind of overlooks it, and the international traveller thinks about the Yarra rather than the Mornington.
Sure.
But I think there's a lot of investment happened there over the last few years, and there seems to be a really, really great move towards some good dining options down there. And they seem to be very proud of their produce. So maybe a few years ago, you know, it was lacking a few bits and pieces, but I feel like that's sort of changing.
Yeah.
And you know, the guys that I've bumped into there seem pretty excited to have another restaurant opening up there, and just the more that we have down there, the better it gets, I imagine. So, you know, I'm excited to be at a region which I think is on the verge of becoming, you know, a truly great dining and recreational region in Australia.
Yeah, and diners are obviously very ready to go regional in Victoria. Obviously, Bray, you know, recently,
they are.
Very different area, but, yeah. Country, Victoria, none all the same.
Even like from Loam.
From Loam and now Igni as well.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that. I wonder why Victoria succeeds where New South Wales fails. Mm.
I just think, has anyone... beyond like Byron up that way...
You've got Biota
down south.
Oh, yeah, that does work. All right.
But
yeah.
I think the difference is that you've got to go like 2.5 hour drive to get to these places where...
Melbourne's an hour.
You know, they built the City Link, which from the airport to Mornington is like 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Without a single stop sign. And I think it's pretty much the same when you go to Geelong and when you go to... Yeah. To Bray, you know, they're a little bit closer. And I feel like also Sydney's, you know, got all the beaches and everything inside of it. I mean, the closest you could think would be Palm Beach, but it's not really
there's nothing good there.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really that kind of place where you can get produce.
Browwater's Inn doesn't exist anymore, does it? I don't remember.
Well, it is, but you have to fly there.
Yeah. That's your boat. I mean, yeah, there are things. It's always been hard in Sydney, really, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And the more things that happen in the city, like, it's less reason for people to leave and stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe it is that, yeah, we're much more of a travel to a beach place than travel to the country place.
Yeah. And I don't know, you
go to the Blue Mountains and that's it.
That's it.
Or you go up, still nothing good at the Blue
Mountains. Starting to change a little bit up there.
Or you go to the Hunter and then...
Yeah, sure.
But then, you know, you can't...
Roberts.
But most of these places, you'd look at... Because of the drive, you'd look at staying there overnight.
Yeah, or for a couple of days. Or...
Yeah, whereas these other places... I mean, the places around Victoria, you can realistically do it in a day. Or you can do it like Clayton did when Bray opened and...
Yeah, fly down and fly back.
Fly down
day.
And fly back.
We don't have that casino blank check.
Yeah, we did... Last year, I did Bray and Igni on the same day.
Yeah, right. Wow, that's a...
That's a pretty good day.
It was a fucking great day.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I haven't done Igni yet.
Yeah,
oh, man. Igni by far my favourite restaurant I ate at last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I need to go.
Looking forward to going back. Great, incredible food.
You did eat at Acme a couple of times. just pointing that out.
Yeah, that's not news to anybody. It's not news to anybody that Lev's not a fan.
I love mate. Come on. I spent 10 minutes sucking your dick last week. The wine as well at Igni was spectacular, and hopefully, you know, you'll be able to get some.
Do they do a lot of Geelong?
I mean, his name is Andrew. He's one of the partners. It's like him and his wife do the wines, and Aaron does the food at Igni. And it was just because you know that, like, when people just work so well together, it was
right.
Very obvious that those guys have an incredible working relationship
along the lines of Fleet, which maybe we shouldn't talk about at the same time as Igni.
I love that too.
But I don't know. I haven't really got into it, but I don't know if the Victorian government sort of promotes the areas a little bit better than maybe Destination New South Wales does. But
I'm going to make an effort to go to Biota this year. I think that's a really, really good point. Because like, you know, it's one thing to be like, oh, you know, New South Wales doesn't support the blah blah. And I'm like, you know what? I've never been.
I haven't been to Biota.
I've been to every prominent regional Victorian restaurant. Well, I haven't been to any of the ones in New South Wales. So yeah, I'll put my money where my mouth is. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So leaving Rockpool after 8 years.
Yeah.
What dishes are you going to miss cooking and maybe want to try and do your own spin on, and which ones can you never cook again?
Oh, look, to be honest, I loved working there. I really enjoyed it. But I'm really excited to make a clean break. Mm-hmm. And generally, usually when I did a dish and did a dish change and it never really came back. I don't really like that.
Yeah,
I kind of like to always push things forward a little bit. So although I'll miss a lot of things, I'm never really going to think, geez, I wish I could cook that again.
Sure.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so you know, I'm just really excited to try to make this a individual project and do something quite different to what I was doing before.
Did anything stay on the menu longer at Rockpool than the chicken wing with the caviar?
When I say things didn't come back, I mean there was the shirashi sushi and the congee, which kept on popping up, popping back. Mm-hmm. And I guess there was date tart, which was which was now you can have at Rockpool Bar and Grill. But that was there for whatever, how many years it was open.
That outdated you.
That outdated me, outdated the restaurant. continues to outdate the restaurant.
One of Sydney's kind of most famous desserts. It's date tart.
Well, I mean, it's phenomenal. But
yeah, it's still fucking good.
You know what? Actually, yeah, when you say there's something I'm going to miss, it'll be having date tart.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, whenever I want. Yeah. Date tart on tap. Although my waistline probably won't miss that too much. But I think if you limit yourself to two tarts a day, you're okay. That was my theory on that one. Anyway, so I'll probably miss date tart quite a bit. And I'll miss some. I'll miss the group of guys that I had working down there.
Oh,
I
yeah, think. No doubt.
Yeah, I had a bunch of long term.
Yeah, and I thought in terms of the younger guys that I'd had with me over the last few years, I thought quite a few of them were quite special. And I'm pretty excited to see what they do, and I'm a bit upset that I don't get to, you know, contribute to their development going forward anymore. But I think some of them, you'll definitely maybe two to three to four of them you'll hear about a little bit later, because they just had that extra special quality, I think, which you don't see that often. So I'll miss them. I'll miss the crew, and I'll miss Date Tart.
One of the more memorable dishes that I had when I came to eat with you was the most stingray I've ever eaten in my life. I think you like doubled the serve for me, and it was phenomenal. It was a super spicy stingray dish.
I don't even remember what that was.
Yeah, it was a really good one. I think it was an experiment. I think it was an off menu joint. You maybe just had a full stingray, and you were like, I'll just give it to Levin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did a similar thing to Puskas once with some possum.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he's never going to eat possum again. Just
was it possum?
It was possum.
No, we were talking about that on your last service at Rockpool, weren't we?
Yeah. So I had a possum. I didn't know what to do with it. It'd been
you found it in the roof.
It'd been in the cool room. It was around. I can't remember who was using possum, but you know, possum was trying to get some traction at some point.
Yeah, they're always trying to make a push for wild possum to make its way onto menus.
It's pretty gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Eggert would smack you down.
Yeah.
He loves
never
it,
heard
right?
of it. Yeah, well, Mike likes a lot of things.
But I think it'd been in the core room for about a week, and Puskas made a sort of last-minute booking, so I thought I'd cook up some possum.
What did you do?
I can't even remember, but it was
he didn't appreciate it.
You just sandwiched it between two date tarts.
But that was my last foray to possum. But I just quite enjoy doing the off menu dish.
Yeah.
So I often don't remember what they were. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. The reason I bring it up though is that, you know, are there going to be ingredients that you won't be able to get?
I haven't really got into the supply of the Asian ingredients down there, but I'm pretty sure it's close enough to Melbourne to be able to get relatively everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's only an hour drive, so
yeah,
I'd be surprised if there's anything I couldn't get. But in saying that, you know, I don't want to make it too Asian at this point. So, you know, look, situational. Pretty much determines a lot of the kind of thing that I do anyway. So, you know, I think that's the way most restaurants are. You know, you have this idea for a restaurant. It's like this little child. You throw it into the world and it sort of takes on its own life outside of that. And, you know, it develops its own personality. And I'm pretty sure that's what will happen. You know, we'll work out what we want to do and maybe that will change.
It'll evolve.
And it will evolve and
it'll fall into what it's going to be.
Exactly. So it'll be, I think, you know, I've got a real desire to try promote the peninsula and the ingredients that are there. So, you know, I'll just work with what's available to me, to be honest.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I might stop filming now. So if you've been watching this, I'm going to put the full 20 minutes up on our Facebook page. But if you've been watching this...
The full 20?
Yeah, the full 20, bro.
20 minutes of me.
Yeah.
I just got to, first of all, just apologize for that white sort of apparition on yeah. one side of the
It's called
screen.
The sun, bro.
Well, it's me.
we should say that we're actually in the original Mitchin. We're not...
This is the actual Mitch's kitchen.
Yeah. So that's why we're recording on an iPhone instead of the usual high-tech setup that we now have.
But go and listen to the full episode. We'll put it up in the link below. Thanks for watching. And Phil, where are you going to be? Do you have an estimate of when you're going to be opening your new joint?
Estimate around October, hopefully.
So February 2019.
yeah, potentially. But yeah, hopefully October. So,
you got any name ideas? What about doot? Four doots.
Or just doot.
doot with it cubed.
Yeah. No.
Awesome.
All right.
We actually on the subject of trying to find Asian ingredients. I can't remember if he was talking about it to us just in conversation or on the episode. Mm. But it was funny talking to Louis Tikaram recently about.
It's always funny talking to Louis.
Incredibly funny. We need to talk about his last night in Sydney as well, because I'm pretty sure, were you there for it?
Which one?
We'll get to it. Before we get to that.
Lands down and Dolphin.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about that already?
We didn't talk extensively about Louis.
Dolphin.
And I feel like...
His night at the Dolphin?
Yeah.
I walked in and walked out, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. You did.
Yeah, he was so busy. Anyway.
Hurricane Louis took over Sydney for a week and we saw him, you know, as often as we could, but you know, he was eating four meals a day just to catch up with everyone, because everyone he knows owns or cooks in restaurants. On the podcast he was talking about the difficulty of trying to get Asian ingredients for his family just to eat regularly when they were living in Mullumbimby, and having to drive up to Brisbane and then come back with a full car with, you know, full of sauces. And that's not the interesting part of the story. The more interesting part is, let's hang shit on Louis. his last night in Sydney, we talked about it briefly when we did our episode over at the Lansdowne. He did a takeover of the Dolphin Hotel.
Yep.
And he did extensive menu planning for that. I don't think he actually cooked in much on the night. Certainly not when I got there. When I got there, he was walking around with a bottle of Radicon.
Yeah.
And just taking slugs from it throughout the night.
A Radicon long neck, basically.
I think I got there half an hour after it opened or so.
Oh, right.
And they were sold out of everything, I believe.
I had a long grain pizza. It was like a pizza with
caramelized pork hock. And
with some...
Yeah, it was like
some Thai basil instead of...
It was actually fucking good.
It was a margarita with Thai basil.
Yeah, they tried to sell me on it. And I was like, really?
Yeah, it was good.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was fucking good. Really, really good. Yeah. It worked quite well. But Lou Dog was just like paralytic drunk. And then he ended up, like, we all went to the Lansdowne because it was the Lansdowne soft opening weekend. And it was like the Dolphin itself was just half Hospo crew. It was like everyone that's ever been on the Mitchin. And then some random coke dealers. who we were not talking to.
who no one in the hospitality industry actually knew.
That's right. And we moved over to the Lansdowne, and sure enough, it was even more people there because, you know, celebrating the new venue opening. Mm-hmm. And Lou Dog, I'm sorry, we should have got Jake to talk about it last week, but you weren't at the Lansdowne at this point, were you?
No.
So Jake from Mary's and the Lansdowne, who was on 2 weeks ago, saw a big crew of us there. He's like, I'm going to get you guys some wine. And he went around the corner and, like, you know, pulled out a bottle and, like, cracked it open and was going to pour glasses from it. Lou Dog, who has met Jake twice, grabbed the bottle out of Jake's hand and then just walked into the crowd drinking from him from the bottle. And then everyone's like, you know, me and Joel are like, oh, we want wine. And he was like, nah, you're not getting any fucking wine now. Get this cunt, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, we had to, like, simmer Jake down over right. Louis.
I can imagine.
And when we talk to Darren and Mags next, they'll have some great stories of like Lou Dog just being the fucking worst.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you know, I think
maybe LA has changed him.
No, I don't think that's actually the exact Louis I remember. And I remember, like, You know, he's like someone that I miss, like a family member, like all the time. And I feel like he realized how much everyone loved and missed him when he got back to Sydney and how demanding of his time they were, that I feel like he went out with a bang and just made himself as repulsive as possible. So, we could like, stay a few more years before coming back.
So
us.
The next time he comes back, someone hangs out with
I tell that story because we're going to miss you as well for when you go to Melbourne.
Oh, thank you.
But so when you return, just make sure you have a fucked night.
But I'm just a complete arsehole.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's not a stretch.
It's not a stretch, but I'll ride back on my fixie.
How well do you know Jake? Do you know him well enough to take a bottle of wine out of his hand and drink it in the
I know well enough not to take a bottle of wine.
So that's why you definitely should.
I will miss Phil's drunk dancing.
I was going to say that in the intro. I don't know about that. You're one of my favourite drunk dancers. it's a draw. It's between you and Clayton Wells, my two favourite drunk dancers in the hospo industry.
Yeah.
We recently did a after the 50 best restaurants thing. I DJ'd the after party, and for the first, like, I think 2 hours,
I was the only one.
You were the only one there, and you were just like, you were like, "Hey, you having fun, Levin? Dancing? Do you need another drink?" And I was like, "Man, I love Phil."
I was just loving the subtle Patron promotion throughout the venue.
It was like this, like very classy, beautiful, elegant venue that had just been just like, "Oh, just throw empty Patron bottles everywhere," and then like,
and some really authentic tagging.
That's what I was gonna say. The one part, like everything else is like quite pristine and clean and glass, and then the one part was like just the DJ set up. They were just like, oh yeah, and just graph the fuck out of that. So there was like a big, like, just probably said Patron or something.
It says Levin's love Patron.
Yeah. Which I do. For the right price, I do. But yeah, thank you for keeping me company.
There's nothing like having an empty dance floor and a couple of drinks. Honestly, actually, those drinks, I don't know if you tried.
You kept bringing them to those me, Patron, so I did.
Yeah, that's right. Those Patron cocktails were simply some of the worst. Like, I don't know who, it was a Patron Negroni, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it was like lots of classic cocktails, but every single one of them had Patron.
And you know, Patron, love it. Great product, but just no.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's good on its own with salt or whatever. Like, because you know, you're like, actually, okay, no, you you're like, what? I'm about to drink tequila, and you know it's going to taste like tequila, and that's that.
I don't love Patron at all.
Right. Do you love tequila at all?
Kiss that sponsorship money goodbye.
No.
So it's okay, Patron, if you're listening. Phil just sure doesn't like tequila.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are, Patron. Senor Patron. but no, don't love tequila. Don't love Patron. So,
what other brands do you want to shit on? Sydney specific, might be helpful for your career.
Sydney specific brands, because I'm all about Victoria now. Mm. Nothing comes to mind.
Harry's Cafe de Wheels.
I went to go there last night.
Really
funny you mentioned that. We were at the Tilbury having a drink and thought we'll just go across the road and have a pie. Had the longest queue you could imagine on a cold night.
Yeah, it's still busy.
Yeah. So we ended up going to the Apollo, which is something I truly will miss, to be honest, for just a place to go and have consistent quality. It's always the same. Menu never changes, kind of place.
Yeah.
I will miss that.
Big Greek feed.
Yeah.
I actually had a Harry's Cafe de Wheels queue experience yesterday as well.
Really?
I was running.
What is going on?
Well, I mean, I live around the corner for one, which is like, if you know me, you're like, that's the one he's talking about. I haven't been there and I never will. Yeah. But yesterday I ran a stall at the Collector Mania Fair at Penrith Panthers.
Is that Harry's in the big pavilion?
There is one in, not just in Penrith, there's one in Penrith Panthers.
Really?
And I was working from like 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. It finished and I guess I'm hungry enough to eat Harry's. And then there was like fucking 100 people lining up.
That's crazy.
At 3 p.m. on a Sunday for a Harry's pie. And I was like, no, fuck that.
Was there
a
football game? Was there an NRL match on?
Yes, there was. Yeah. And also there was like, you know, hundreds of people there. Hundreds of fat nerds buying my shit.
Pies.
Oh, and pies. Evidently.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
But I ended up going to a place called Memphis Pit Barbecue in Penrith instead.
How was that?
The fit out was pretty amazing. Felt like a real, like
a Guy Fieri restaurant.
About, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Talking about fit outs.
Yeah.
Have you been to the grounds of the city?
No, I haven't.
No, I was talking about this recently because I went to it was described to me as a much more bearable grounds called Camperdown Commons.
Ah.
And then that's like, you know, it's just like a family friendly area where it's, you know, drinks, okay food, like the good, you know, heaps of wayward beers on tap, which is a good vibe. There's lots of grounds talk.
Right.
How's the grounds of the city? Because I mean, the grounds of Alexandria is like a, they started when they opened, it was very much like a, it's the farm in Alexandria and there are animals and there is a nonstop onslaught of like eastern suburbs families coming in and
just going there. But apparently it was amazing. I've never been. Have you been?
To Grounds of Alexandria or City?
Alexandria.
I've never been to either.
I catered their Christmas party like 5 years ago.
Catered their Christmas party?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, they do throw
a lot of
effort and a lot of money into the fit outs.
But I've got to say, the one in the city is one of the most remarkable fit outs I've ever seen in anywhere.
Weren't we saying it's like, it's almost like Disneyland or something? Like it's like a theme park.
Yeah, almost, you know? It's like a little theme park restaurant. But the detailing is just, I shudder to think how many millions of dollars it cost.
Mm.
Is it one of those ones where it feels like, you know, without, you know how all Maryvale venues feel the same?
Yeah.
Does it feel significantly different to other extremely expensive fit out restaurants in Sydney?
It does. Yeah, it does. It does. It's, I just think the level of detail that you see in the fit out is, I haven't seen that before. So, you know, just even the shelving around the room, but the kitchen particularly.
A big open kitchen?
Big open kitchen. It's got a big island in the middle and then every single part of that kitchen has been custom made or custom fitted. So
damn.
It's shelving, hidden shelving around the whole kitchen, which is quite remarkable. And I don't know if this might bore.
No, this is really interesting. It's good that we actually talk about restaurant related stuff.
I don't think anyone can afford to do what they've done.
No.
Like the fridge doors are all seem to be a custom red door that's designed to look like an old retro fridge door. And then even the extraction, the above the central island, is the same red steel construction, which makes it look like ye olde kitchen. But far out, it's just incredible.
Is it a big spacious? Like, you know, is it somewhere? Is it like, you know, family friendly kind of joint, or is it much more of a sit down restaurant kind of vibe?
No, it's family-ish friendly. It's pretty packed. It's pretty sardine-y.
Yeah.
But I think that contributes to the vibe of the place. So that's you know.
I'm pretty sure they don't need any more promotion from us.
No, I mean, it is interesting to talk about it. Like, I felt the same way about going to the farm in Byron last month with the Three Blue Ducks is up there, and Darren wasn't there at the time because he doesn't work in the kitchen ever. But Paul from the bread project, which is the bakery they have there, showed me around.
Have they got a bakery there now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's been there the whole time.
It's fucking amazing bread too. Right. Okay. He used to be the head baker at Bourke Street, and now he started his own thing up there, and it's fucking unreal bread.
Yeah, right.
But that fit up there is insane. Like it's an actual functioning farm. And then there has, like, you know, the restaurant and kind of a shop and a kind of playground, and you can do like a little kind of walking tour of the grounds as well. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I know that that Byron Council and Byron residents were like against it, and they're still. I think it was a lot like pushing a rock uphill to get it.
I think there's not a lot that Byron Council's not against.
Yeah.
They're definitely against fluoride and vaxxing.
There was an amazing article that our friend Toby shared. He lived in, grew up in Byron, about just being like, you know, why I will never move back to Byron.
Did you read that article? I didn't read it.
I think I read that.
It was such a caustic article, but it was very funny. It was kind of, I read it like, you know, having just gotten back from a holiday there, in which I was, you know,
part of the problem.
I was just going to the beach, you know, in the middle of the day every day, and it was fucking May and it was awesome weather.
Yeah.
And then going like, oh man, Byron's amazing. Why would you write an article shitting on it? And then they bring up like, you know, the anti-vaxxing and the just like, yeah, a lot of the things that like you overlook when you're there on a holiday and you're like, oh yeah, Byron's fucked. Hey, Mitch, you know what else is like a weird... I wouldn't quite say fucked, but walking here today down Bayswater Road to Acme, past Acme, Bayswater Road is a significantly different, evolving creature every time I walk down it. Just like, you know, because I grew up in King's Cross as like, you know, as a DJ with all the nightclubs. Mm. And a nightclub that I used to DJ at now is a gym that I DJ at now.
F45.
Well, Le Panic is now an F45.
Oh, is that where F45 is? In The Panic?
It's like
four doors up from Acme. How have you not seen it yet?
No, because I never walk on that stretch of Bayswater.
Yeah, like totally.
I never pay it. I just assume it's still Candy's apartment, Le Panic,
I think it's all
World Bar.
I think you'd be shocked.
Yeah, well, I know Candies and Well Bar are still there.
Yeah, and then there's like every 6 months there's on the kind of corner of Bayswater and whatever that main drag is there. It's a newly owned burger restaurant. It's always a burger spot. Now at the moment it's called like Burgers Coffee.
Oh, it used to be Burger Pies, where Burger Fuel was or whatever. Oh,
I know, it was a bigger one. I think it used to be like, I don't know what it used to be, but I walked past them today and like they're like weird gimmick is on the middle of every table.
Is a basketball?
No, is a CDJ or a DJ mixer. Yeah. What the fuck is... Why would you put a $1,000 piece of equipment that isn't plugged into anything just on the middle of your table?
The actual
shit one. I DJ off every weekend.
Are you serious?
They're probably all broken.
Yeah, I know. But what a weird thing. It takes up a massive amount of space.
I don't know. I think that's the old... No, I was going to say it's the old Bayswater Brasserie, but that's something.
No, that's it. That is it. Yeah, yeah, that's what.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no, yeah. That's Crane Bar, isn't it?
Oh, is it Crane Bar?
Yeah, whatever. Like, it's near. It's next to that. If not, yeah. It's between Corner and World Bar.
I do Pilates
Bar.
above.
Which nightclub do you do Pilates?
The
Lincoln.
They had a
The Lincoln is what I don't know why. What's wrong with that site? Why has no one ever done anything there since the Lincoln shut?
Well, it's just King's Cross is risky. It's really risky doing stuff here now because residents.
King's Cross the first time when I was 12, when I was over from New Zealand. I was here for the Raiders final against the Bulldogs in 95.
Who did you support?
93, the Raiders. Well, it was the last game.
Why did you support Raiders?
That's bizarre.
Because there was no Warriors back then.
Yeah, there was no Warriors back then. It was actually the year before the Warriors were
were
in the competition. Because they had Mel Meninga and Larry Daly and Ricky Stewart and Bradley Croker and
Bradley Mullins.
So it was their last game altogether. So my dad, being the leaguey that he is, took us all over to Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
We stayed at the Boulevard Hotel. And me and all my brothers snuck out one night to have a walk down the cross. First homeless people I'd ever seen, just or drunk or drugged out people I'd ever seen, and there were so many prostitutes. I could never get that. That's really different now.
Yeah,
I just like to point that out.
Very different.
Where do you go for prostitutes now?
And is it a classy establishment now?
Yeah.
He's off street hookers.
Anyway, my dad came and got us when he worked out that we'd left the hotel. He was pretty upset.
Yeah.
It is fucking because I'll walk from the station, and when you come out on the main is it Darlinghurst Road? That area still looks the same it's always looked. That area still is like, you know, backpackers, strip clubs, McDonald's, and just like, you know, the kind of people that you've seen out on the streets of King's Cross for the last decade. That's all still there. But then as soon as you walk down Bayswater Road, it's just yoga studio, Pilates studio,
restaurant
that you know will only exist for 3 months.
Yeah.
Thirsty Bird's good though. I like Thirsty Bird.
Yeah, Thirsty Bird's not bad.
They were open. I DJed at King's Cross Hotel a couple of weeks ago and my room got closed early, which I was like, damn, at first. Then I was like, wait a minute, I can go home. And then they were still open till 2, so I had fried chicken at 2 a.m., which is fucking awesome.
Were you DJing the Silent Disco?
No.
Was that a real thing?
Or was Silent Disco, it's like...
Was that a real... Was that a Batuta article?
The silent discos are real, but they suck. I was meant to play one, but the one
that got shut down during Vivid at 9:30.
No, that was just a regular.
Was it a real?
It wasn't a silent disco. Yeah. That was the
silent disco.
That was the Batuta. Yeah,
yeah. Silent disco is like a bunch of people that would never go to a nightclub wearing headphones. And like the novelty is that like if you take the headphones off, you can't hear anything, but you see everybody kind of like dancing around awkwardly, and there's two channels you can tune into. In theory, it's a cool idea, but when you go there and when you DJ, it's really hard to DJ as well because. When you mix, you have
you feel a little silly.
Well, also when you mix, the song you're mixing in is coming in through your headphones, and then the song that you're mixing into is out in the open. Mm. But because there's no song out in the open, you have to put two pairs of headphones on to hear what you're sending out to the listeners and then what you're mixing in. Mm. Shit sucks.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah,
I didn't think about the struggles of silent disco.
The technicalities.
Man, no one does.
Should we get to some emails, Lev?
Yeah, we got some emails here.
What's the emails?
TheMitchin@gmail.com.
That's an interesting app you have.
Thanks, Phil. So this one's from Gavin. So all these ones are nice and long. So bear with me while I try and read out these emails.
Do they have questions?
Yes. Okay. To whom may be a cunt?
Sorry, I haven't listened to the Mitchin recently. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, it's fine. The important thing to do whenever you email us is call us a cunt. Apparently, that's really important. So right. Gavin begins his email. To whom may be a cunt? First things first, I'd like to thank you guys for the effort for putting in the podcast. Blah, blah, blah. You were great. I thought about this for a while.
Gavin. My pleasure.
Especially after the hiatus. when you ask what people wanted more of, I think I listened to the Mitchin for insights of you into a world that I typically wouldn't have access to. So extending that out, the things I'd probably like to hear more about are these insights into the industry. There are a few discussions about booking systems, DIMI, etc. And I think that was one that you talked about when you were on, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I found the debate around online booking versus call up and having a chat fascinating. Whether you call it tech and future trends in the industry, things like Acme being up on Uber Eats, I think it's a really interesting time for that stuff, and you're in a good position to investigate it. Any thoughts re-technology? How we should check in, because we talked about Uber Eats like the week that you signed Acme up for it. How has it been for Acme?
It hasn't been amazing. It started off okay, and now we don't do very much, but there's also so much on the platform and on Deliveroo and on Foodora that's hard to make any noise. And I guess we're at a different price point to what most people are using those apps for as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's neither either there. I'll say with DIMI that I saw something, or someone told me the other day that I'm not sure if it's DIMI, so I won't badmouth them, but there's a booking platform that sends out emails or something like that. Or if people look for a restaurant, say someone looks for Acme because we're not on any booking platforms.
You're not on any.
No. Nah. Hmm. Acme will come up if someone searches for it.
And look up the booking number like a normal person.
No. But if you go on these booking things, Acme will come up, but then it will say, Acme isn't a part of this, but why don't you try these restaurants that are similar?
Oh, wow.
So they're still...
Is that true? That actually happens.
Yeah. Huh. So they're using... Like, instead of just not being there, as they're still putting that Acme is searchable and findable, but then directing that potential traffic that might want to book at Acme to other restaurants.
That sucks, which but is it's really, also so clever.
It's very clever, but it's very underhanded.
Yeah.
And
evil.
I don't use DIMI or anything like that because I don't want to pay some corporation to suck money out of the restaurant industry. And I also believe in the personal touch, and that's something that is important to Acme and has been from the start. Like, whether you deal with Cam and his eccentricities,
or whether you want to deal with Cam.
Whether you want to deal with Cam, or, you know, but it's an important lead-in into the kind of experience that you're going to have at Acme, where you're going to walk in and be treated like a friend and someone that we've known forever. Cam's probably going to hug you when you walk in, even if he's never seen you before in his life. You know, all that kind of thing that leads to the experience of what Acme is. And by going through a booking system, you don't get that.
Yeah, I would much rather call up and even just leave a voicemail. yeah. and have that, you know, the text or the call.
Yeah.
I think that's so much better than dealing with a, even if it's like a website through, like, you know, I've got to book a dinner for Momofuku soon. And like, yeah. I'm not going to do it the normal way. I'm going to use my bullshit inside contacts to do it my way. But I hate that system of booking.
I mean, I think the Momofuku one was the worst, to be honest. The fact that you have to sign up. Do you have to still do that? I don't know.
I don't know. They've changed it.
I don't know. We'll never know because we're complete cunts.
We go through email. We go through email. So there's a history of your booking and a history of every time you book. And there's a direct link for you if you have a compliment or a complaint or special requests or whatever. There's a direct line to either Cam or the restaurant manager for you to go through. And then on the day or the day before, we confirm everything by text. So there's another history of your interaction with us as well. And it's, again, it's a personal thing, and it might be Cam's messaged you four times, but he doesn't realize he's messaging the same person. He thinks he's messaging somebody else every time. You know, so
it's a great setup.
Yeah,
it's a
table
great
setup. For 6, 3, or 5.
Yeah. So, you know, but that's part of the charm, I guess, of of Acme. So, you know, and yeah, I guess it's the same as the delivery companies and stuff. Like, it's people outside the industry trying to make money from the industry, which doesn't always sit well with me. But sometimes you have to play the game, I guess, and sometimes it can be an advantage. But
when I guess from my point of view with the booking systems, it just adds an efficiency to the restaurant, which you can potentially reduce a little bit of costs and increase your margin. But I mean, then you still have to have someone there anyway because we haven't got to that point where everybody is booking online yet,
and they're not.
But, you know...
It's a lot to set it up, though, as well, right? Like, to say, okay, there's these seatings available. And then, you know, you don't have the flexibility to go, okay, we can squeeze extra people in this.
Yeah,
line.
You do have to
all that kind of stuff, you know? Really, so, you still got to manage it anyway.
Yeah, you do. And if you have a restaurant which has flexible seating options, it does make it a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think with the booking systems, you know, they do give you quite a large outreach. And I think particularly... for international bookings. I mean, when I go overseas, I always use online systems, I guess. It's just easier for booking from overseas.
I've never been a fan or never used them, but I see your point.
I love them.
It's someone for everybody.
How much money are they putting in your pocket?
They charge an awful lot. And potentially if the industry as a whole was a little bit more together and harder on these things, then we'd potentially, as a bargaining group, get a better rate.
Better deal, yeah.
So you love it as a restaurateur or as a diner?
I love it as a diner. I think it makes it... You know, I do actually pretty much use online booking only, really, unless a friend of mine is in the restaurant. And I think as running a restaurant, it just gives you... I think you're always looking for as wide audience as you can possibly pull on.
Yeah.
And I guess those online systems have a certain market. And I think going forward with that next generation, you get the feeling that that might be all that they use.
Yeah, I guess it's something to think about too, because like you said, and like we've said before, it's so hard to keep people coming back to your restaurant in Sydney, so to give yourself that wider reach, maybe it's worth the money, especially over winter and stuff when it's extra tough.
Yeah, and I guess that was the same idea of we used Deliveroo for a little while, and that was the same idea. It's just to have a wider reach. You're always trying to.
Yeah, well, that's the same reason we use Uber Eats as well.
Mm.
Maybe if people don't want to come to the restaurant because they're lazy, and we all feel that, maybe they'll cop something off Uber Eats, but it hasn't really taken off for us like it has for other people.
No, I think you have to be... I mean, it's predominantly burgers, pizzas, and fried chicken, I think.
Did you ever get people complaining of the presentation of your food when they get it from Uber
Yeah,
Eats?
I have. Yeah. I have.
And I was really curious about
I have before. I had someone send a Facebook message and say that the macaroni looked like someone had eaten half of it or something like that, and it was all over shop. And I replied to him and I said... Your order wasn't cooked until the driver got to the restaurant, and you know it's pasta in a container, and then it's driven around or ridden around, and I don't have any control over what the driver or the delivery person is doing with it.
Like,
so
he could be eating half of it, for example.
He could be. And I have heard horror stories of stuff like that happening. But I said, it's the same portion size in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's the same cost as in the restaurant. And it was cooked. It wasn't cooked until the driver was here waiting for it. So it was as fresh as possible. And if it gets shaken up around on the way, like, a bowl of pasta is only going to look like a bowl of pasta either way. So, you know. And I sent that as a reply, and I didn't hear back from them. So, who knows?
Hmm. I think that's the weirdest part of trying to, as a restaurant, trying to be a part of that service.
Yeah.
Because essentially, you know, they want you to charge what you charge in a restaurant. But that doesn't really make sense, because then you're sort of outpricing yourself as opposed to
the other places
that are a takeaway only.
Yeah.
Venue.
So that's part one of this 4-part email. The next one's a quick one. This is actually a really good idea. And Phil, you can let us know as a chef if you would display this. One thing I'll mention, says Gavin, who emailed us, and you may be aware of this, is how influential being Michin approved is. I live in Brisbane and had amazing nights out just by asking which Michin guests do I want to visit. Recently, I had a cracking day, coffee at Artificer, sandwiches at the Dolphin, dinner at Automata. I know it's corny, but a Michin approved sticker would be shorthand for run by good people who do good stuff. Would you? Because, I mean, like, restaurants everywhere will always have, like, the good food guide the sticker, the GT sticker, the cheap eat sticker. What about a Michin approved one with a picture of me and Mitch on it giving the thumbs up? Michin approved on your restaurant.
That's a large customer base of about 10 people.
Yeah. I'd have to take that to the wider management of the restaurant.
Yeah. Get it signed off by the appropriate bodies.
Yeah, myself. You know, you've got a customer right there.
Yeah.
What if we made your aprons
the aprons just had your floor staff have me giving a thumbs up. Kitchen staff have Mitch giving a thumbs up.
Yeah, I think that would work.
I'm into it. Cool. All right. Thank you for the merch idea, Gav. Finally, I have a few thoughts. Two parts more. I had a few thoughts on recurring Michin themes. Feel free to disregard them as speculation from an uninformed dickhead, or take them as your own and just buy me a drink sometime. That's not going to happen. You uninformed dickhead. Number one, people enter the restaurant industry having a false idea of it. Giving off the whole open house events in architecture world, could you have a Sydney-wide open kitchen?
Well, like a day where if you want to work in a restaurant, you can come into
and get bollocked.
Imagine that. You could be yelled at by one of Sydney's top chefs.
It's hard because we're still delivering a service for paying customers. So it's a high intensity, high pressure environment. So, you know, in a place like Acme where there's only 3 people in the kitchen, to throw someone unexperienced and that kind of thing into that mix is pretty hard, especially on a really busy night where you're under the pump and trying to deliver the best product possible. It's hard, but I think that's part of the problem with cooking shows and that kind of thing. It always romanticizes what it is, and it never really shows the reality. But I guess in a bigger kitchen, maybe you could do something, because there's more bodies and you can put someone on a section with a supervisor and you can delegate little jobs and that kind of thing. And you can get a feel of what it's actually like to be in a busy kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, I think the problem with an open kitchen Sydney-wide is that every part of your property is money, right? Yeah. So you got to keep the spaces as tight as possible to maximize your earnings, particularly with the cost of Sydney rent and property at the moment, and the fact that all the people that own property now are trying to make as much money out of rentals as possible before property potentially collapses. So you just don't have the space available to you to have too many extra people floating around.
Yeah. So he suggests that the audience could be kids considering a TAFE or an apprenticeship, career changes, could give them a view inside and be a way of selling restaurants to potential employees, given staffing is such an issue. People would inevitably gram kitchen setups and dishes. Could that be good promotion?
Well, I mean, you know, already kids thinking about an apprenticeship do have quite a lot of different outlets in which they can do work experience in a kitchen already. Particularly, we used to work with the Hills District schools, and, you know, they'd send us maybe 1 to 2 kids a week to do work experience with us. And that, I mean, that's quite common. You know, so that's already happening.
Yeah, I did work placement when I was in school and stuff like that.
The second point he brings up is that there's too many substandard restaurants opening.
No shit.
What if restaurant licenses were handed out like taxi licenses, i.e. a set amount to ensure supply didn't overwhelm demand?
That's done really well for the taxi.
Yeah. It's a bit against free markets, etc., but putting a cap, just like other things the government makes money off, could be a suggestion. It's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
I understand where he's coming from, though.
Because some idiot bureaucrat with no fucking idea would be in charge, and the wrong people would still get the license.
Okay, if you could put someone in charge that you think would do a good job, who decides? Who in the world do you know that could decide which restaurants should exist and which shouldn't?
No, it's pretty tough. I mean, so subjective of an industry that it's, you know, what do you do about it?
Yeah.
You know, you might just end up with Italian restaurants everywhere. Pasta, you know?
I think in some cities around the world, there's laws in place that restaurants can't operate within a certain space of each other. So, like, you couldn't have 3 restaurants next door to each other kind of thing.
Sort of like a pharmacy.
Yeah.
It's like the pharmacy regulation.
There's, like, a bit of regulation, like, in that way. And that, something like that might help. But I think it's just one of those things where everyone's just trying to jump on the bandwagon because they think they can make a quick buck, and there's people throwing money
on the face behind of it and that kind of thing. They can make, like on the face of it. Yeah, you do imagine that they do make lots of money, but...
They do not.
They do not, yeah.
They really, really do not. And they can lose you a lot of money very, very, very quickly.
If there was a way of... I guess it goes back to the subjective thing again, but if there was a way to stop people from opening restaurants which weren't good...
You got to put someone in charge.
I would like to be in charge.
What do you think would be the best thing you'd do in that role and the worst?
The best thing I would do in the... I don't know.
In that role of letting...
Me decide what restaurants can and can't open.
What would be like your main... Like, which restaurant... What kind of restaurant would you make sure there were more of, and which would you make sure there were less of?
Small, independently... run restaurants by industry professionals.
So way less of those.
And less dining precincts.
Mm. Maybe less dining precincts.
What if they have amazing fit outs?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you mean like massive joints, like, you know, like you.
No, I mean like less Barangaroos and tram sheds.
And stars and, yeah, sure.
I think the best thing that they could do would be some sort of free business mentorship for young independent restaurateurs.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Board. A bit of, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere where you can...
Knowing what access. It actually, yeah, what is actually involved in opening a business and running a business.
What if we, you know, there's Chinatown and Chinatown, and then there's the Korea, like, precinct.
I really find the Chinatown bit a bit of a stretch.
It's like, well, it's
like
a road.
Street. Yeah, it's like two.
Yeah.
What if we had like...
And it's just Thai Town, guys. It's not China Land.
It's the Thai part of Chinatown.
I really miss the Spanish Quarter.
which is what Chinatown is now.
The Spanish Quarter that was just one restaurant.
Oh wait,
it should have been the Spanish Corner, not the Spanish Quarter.
Yeah. Well, that's where the dip was. I was part of the Spanish Quarter.
You were Spanish, yeah.
Olé.
Spanish hot dogs.
Yeah. Would you like a cuisine based regions of Sydney?
No.
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 No. No. Variation is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, just Chinatown.
Thanks, Gav, for sending
good email.
All those quick suggestions through. We've got a bunch of other emails that we can read through in more weeks. But Gav ends his email with just saying that you know, he had a best meal he had in years at Acme, of all places.
That's nice.
And he got to say hi to Mitch. Also, he thinks drunk episodes are good.
That's drunk episodes.
We're due for another one of those.
It's been a while. Well, we're due to have Mike Benny back on.
Yeah, that's true. He's fucking very hard to get. But Phil, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's quite all right. Thank you so much.
Now, it's customary at the end of every episode that we ask our guest to choose a song to end the episode on. So while I do the sign-offs, have a think about a song that you want to end this episode on.
Okay.
You can send us an email like Gavin did today to themitchin@gmail.com. And you can find us online. Send a message there. Facebook.com/themitchinpodcast. Wait, fuck. I said it wrong. It's themitchinpodcast@gmail.com and facebook.com/themitchin. I might just change the Facebook to themitchinpodcast even though it's longer. Yeah. Just unit.
Whatever you want, mate. You're the boss.
Do I have to sing this sign-off song?
No. Yes, you do. We're also on Instagram. I always forget to plug it, but it's Facebook. Sorry, Instagram. We're at the Mitchin on Instagram too.
It's very hard for me to choose a song. Sorry,
it's okay. You've got a while.
Am I ruining your sign off?
Yeah, choose whatever you want.
If you want, we can just play Wild Thoughts by DJ Khaled and Rihanna.
Yeah, on repeat.
I played it 3 times on Saturday night.
So good.
Did you?
Have you heard that song yet with the Santana sample?
No.
You like Rihanna, Phil?
I haven't caught her newer stuff. Fan of the, you know, when she was a bit more underground.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You're a big Pondere player. Pondere.
Have you seen who she's dating? Yeah.
Yeah, what? the Saudi Arabian
prince. Have you gone on his Instagram? It's quite remarkable.
No,
she may not even be dating him. Like, Rihanna can have any man she wants for as long as she wants.
She got pretty fat. Pretty quickly.
Oh, what are you talking about? Rihanna is you don't so get fine, bro. What are you talking about? Thick is the word.
There are rules to being on the Mitchin. Insulting Rihanna is just an immediate ban. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Fuck off to Melbourne.
You are the worst guest.
Do you want to play? I've got this political podcast here to sign off. It's called Radio New Zealand National Focus on Politics.
You can find Mitch online at InstaKrill on Instagram, at Krill on the Right on Twitter. I'm at LevDog, LevDawg on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And Phil, if you want to see more New Zealand political humor mixed with fat shaming of pop stars, is at Phil AC Wood.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
Phil a cunt Wood. Yeah.
As chosen by Phil, here is the new song off DJ Khaled's album, Rihanna, with what's his name?
Bryson Tiller.
I thought I was going to say Eric Bellinger. Like, he didn't.
Eric Bellinger. That's a throwback, Libs.
No, it isn't.
Isn't it? Is he new? Is he?
He's new.
Yeah, what do you know?
This is Wild Thoughts, Phil's favorite song right now. Thanks so much to Phil.
DJ Khaled Salsa the dance.
I just love the beat when it drops.
Oh, you love that Santana sample.
The beat dropping.
You can listen to us every week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Phil.
Yep.
Get out of my house.
Get out of my city. Bye-bye. Another one. Another one. We the best music. DJ Khaled. I don't know if you could take it. No, you want to see me naked, naked, naked. I want to be a baby, baby, baby. Spinning in his red just like he came from Maytag. Rocket with sit on the brown. When I get like this, I can't be around you. I'm too little to dim down a notch. Cause I can into things that I'm gon' do. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, 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 thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts. It's the Mitchin Podcast. Hey, this is Levins. Thanks so much for listening to the Mitchin. If you're not completely sick of my voice by now, why don't you check out one of my other podcasts? One of them is called Hey Fam and is about comedy and pop culture and dumb shit. The other one is called Serious Issues and is all about comic books. You can find both of them on iTunes or download them directly at my website, yolevins.com/podcasts. Thanks so much for your support and see you next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.